chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we worship you. As we stand here in freedom, Lord, worshiping you, we know that there are those who are brothers and sisters in Christ that because of this day they're suffering, especially because of the day. And so we ask that you would comfort them, you would strengthen them, you would give them just the joy of the Lord upon them. And Lord, help us to not take this freedom that we have for granted that you have given us. So Lord, as we have this opportunity to listen to this story, to hear the miracles that you have done, God, help us to realize that part of that blessing is the freedom that you've given us. And so today, Lord, as I preach your word, would you anoint me? Would you please feed your sheep, Great Shepherd? And would you glorify your great name? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it was 33 Christmases ago, 1984, that Lisa and I went to our families and said, "Hey, guess what? We're going to get married." 33 Christmases ago. That was a while, huh? Life goes on quick, doesn't it? Yeah. What happens is that, you know, it seems like Christmas time is a time where things that have been in the works for a while kind of get revealed. You know, if you happen to be having a baby, you want to save it until Christmas, and then you tell the whole family, right? Say, "Oh, by the way, guess what? We're pregnant." "No, everybody parties," you know. And hopefully it's always good news, but not in every case. But it seems like Christmas time is a time where these things are revealed. And, you know, we're always surprised. I think maybe if you were the one that was giving the information, you just received a lot back, you know, everybody congratulating you or whatever. But we've all had probably something that has happened on Christmas that was a surprise, that was a revealing of something that had been done. And I would say this, that your greatest Christmas reveal was that very first Christmas. That very first Christmas. And the living God used angels to communicate who this child was going to be, who he was. And let's take a look at God's word as we see as God used created beings to proclaim who Jesus was and why he came. If we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 32a, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High.'" And then in John 14:9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus speaking there. Colossians, "He is the image of the invisible God." And in Hebrews 1, 2, verses 3, "In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power." The angels proclaimed that this child who would be born of Mary was God. Was God. This was not the coming into being of a new person. When we think of birth, we think of that. But rather, it was the coming into the world of an infinitely old one. Jesus existed before time began. Think of that. He created it all. Our Jesus. The God of the universe came. And we need to meditate on that because so many times we forget those truths. The Creator came. And we look at that and we think, you know, previous to that, God was always distant. But now, with Christ coming, God had become approachable. I mean, you know, when you considered back then the religions of the day, the main motivation for following them was fear. But there was nothing frightful or intimidating about an infant in a manger. And so what happened in God in His great wisdom came to His creation. And now He was approachable in a way that He wasn't before. This invisible God. And what Jesus did is that through His words and His actions, the world could now understand, could now believe in God. It says here in Hebrews that He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. The exegesis of God is what that means. You saw Jesus said, when you see Me, you see the Father. In other words, everything, who I am, is God. And we know that throughout the New Testament, He made that claim. I am God. I am the God of your fathers. And so here is Jesus born on earth. God. Creator. What a miracle. And we think about how could a God who cannot be contained. I mean, the God who spoke all of this out of nothing somehow was in a single fertilized human egg. I've read comments from people that said that is the single greatest miracle of all time, greater than the creation of the world out of nothing, greater than anything that we see in the Scriptures, that the living God could somehow be contained, if you will, not contained, but in a ovum and grow from there. Jesus is God. That's what the angels proclaim. The angels also proclaim this, that Jesus is the eternal King. The eternal King. Take a look at God's Word again, Luke chapter 1. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. That's the first part of verse 32. And the Lord God will give to Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom there will be no end. This is the proclamation of the angels. There's coming one. He is God. And His kingdom will never end. He is an eternal King. And then we look in the book of Revelation. Chapter 11, verse 15. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. So not only was it the coming of the Creator, but this Creator would be King eternally, forever. He was King not because He was in David's line. If you see this, it says, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign forever. That's secondary to what was stated right before that. He is King because He is God. For He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. By the way, people back then would have understood Son of the Most High to mean God, not a son of God or a created being. They understood. And so when we read the Scripture, we can't read it through our lens, but we have to understand what it meant back then. So they knew He was claiming to be God. So when it comes to His eternal kingship, it's based on who He is, God, and it is in the line of David. He is the eternal King. And because of that, because He is the eternal King, we know this, that He is the beginning of the past, okay? He's the beginning of the past. Before there was anything, there was God. And then He is at the end of all the future. He's there. He's there. And so what the angels were proclaiming is Creator God is eternal King. He is ruling and He is reigning. And Jesus will be at the end of every path that every human travels. In the end, we will stand face to face with this King because He is eternal. He is eternal. What great news. Creator God. This is this child. The thought of Jesus holding it all together. Holding all the universe together in the arms of Mary. It's just, we can't fathom it. This is one of those mysteries that we stand in awe of who our God is. Because somehow, some way, this child was going to be fully God. And Jesus was also somehow, miraculously, going to be fully man. Fully man. Take a look again at God's words, Luke chapter 1. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Teenager probably, Mary. Can you imagine how scared that she must have been at that point? What? Joseph wanted to bail. Angel settled him down. But here, there's going to be a miracle. And again, we see the wisdom of God just in how this all came about. Who in their wildest dreams could have thought of this way would be the way that God would take full deity and full humanity and bring them together in one person? Only our God. Stand in awe of Him. In awe of our great God. That He would think this and say, "This is how I'm going to do it." It goes on in Matthew chapter 1, 23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. A son, God and man, fully God, fully man. In Hebrews 2, 17a, "Therefore He had to be made like His brothers in every respect." Like us. He had to be. And then in Colossians 2, 9, "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Christmas time is always a time for me to just, words can't express what happened there. The mystery, the majesty, the incredible things that happened and how that could occur. And we see that the Godhead, through the virgin birth, made it possible somehow that there would be the uniting of full deity and full humanity in one person. And there's preaching that I've heard where Jesus was not fully God. I've heard preaching where somebody has said that Jesus could not have come off the cross if He wanted to. That's not true. That's not consistent with the Word of God. Jesus did not give up any of His deity or any of the related attributes when He became man. I don't know how that worked. Okay, I'm not saying that I get it, that my little human brain can put that all together and figure it out. I'm just saying that's what the Word of God says, that He did not give up any of His attributes as God, not one. But He did take on humanity that was not His before. Again, another mystery. Stand in awe of God. Another reason to worship Him. Just another of the myriads of reasons to worship God as we see the beauty of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. At any moment, Jesus could have drawn upon any power, but He refused to rely on His divine nature to make obedience or life easier. Why? So we could understand. He would be our example. People will use that as an excuse sometimes and say, well, yeah, but He was God. Yes, He was. But He did not use those attributes to make it easier. And so we see this King of glory, Jesus, the Creator God, eternal King, becoming fully man somehow and yet remaining fully God. The mystery of it all. And I think what we see in Christ is this beautiful picture of someone who can offer us an eternal perspective because He's God. He was there before it all began, and He will be there when it's all done as far as earth and the universe. So He can give us, as someone walking on this earth, an eternal perspective. And He did that. If we look at His teachings, if you read the Word of God in the New Testament, and He would say things. So He could give us an eternal perspective that no one else who ever walked the earth could ever do. No one could give us that except Jesus because of who He was. So He could give us that eternal perspective and know this is what's happening. This is what's important. And He would paint this picture, this beautiful picture of the future. If you're a believer, a beautiful picture. And yet at the same time, he could have a sympathetic understanding of our journey on this earth. The struggles, He can relate to that too. This beautiful Jesus, He could relate to it. He could understand and say, you know what, I understand rejection. I came to those who I created, and yet they rejected me. I get that. I get the understanding of the pressure of sin and worldliness upon you because I was there and I know it. And I get it. So in Christ we find fully God and fully man, and so he could speak of things that were eternal with authority. And yet He can relate to us in our everyday ho-hum lives. He gets it. The aches and the pains, He gets it. The joy and the sorrow, He gets it. Because He went through it. He was in every way like us. And that, I will never understand how that is. And so we see this beautiful, eternal King, God, coming somehow into this infant, into the womb of Mary. Wow. And what we see in all of this is one of the greatest attributes of Jesus that we could ever want in our own lives. And another reason to worship Him is we see that the angels proclaimed through this that Jesus is humble. He is humble. Take a look at God's Word, Philippians 2, 7 and 8. But He made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus is humble. And in Matthew 20, 28, the Son of Man, Jesus speaking about Himself, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. The King of Kings stooped down and came to us. He became like us. He chose a dirty, filthy nature over heaven. He chose rejection at least for a moment, over worship. Isn't that a picture of our hearts, the manger? He could have come anyway. You know, we could say, you know what, the virgin birth, that was the only option if we could think in our little minds on how God could unite deity and humanity together. But he could have come anyway. God could have chosen to make him come and be the child of the ruler, you know, the emperor of Rome. But God, in his incredible wisdom and in his love communicated to us, even in the way that Christ came, that he takes those things that are not chosen by men, and he takes them. He chooses a peasant couple, Joseph and Mary, had nothing. Goes to a place where there is no fancy palace. They don't even have bed sheets. And all that wasn't by accident. It was to proclaim something. That he had come for the broken, the messed up, the people that were struggling, for all men. He didn't need us, but we desperately needed him. And so he comes in the most humble way. And he's born in a manger. And just to meditate on that, because we see our condition. And so many times we feel, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not cleaned up enough in my life. I got to do this first. And what God does is he shows us, even in the coming of his Son, that it's not about what you can do, because you can't do anything. But I come to you in your need, in your great need, in your mess. I come to you. And I come to you for a purpose. And so we see this beautiful picture of the gospel being formed even in the coming of our Savior Jesus. Our humble, holy Creator stepped into the universe that he created. Think of that. Think of that. Our humble, holy Creator stepped into the universe in a unique way. And he came to serve us. That's incredible. That's incredible. He came to serve. This glorious great King, eternal King, seated in the highest place, all creation held together by him. And he comes to serve us, to serve you and I. What a Savior, what a God, that he comes to serve. He came to reveal the truth of God. As I said earlier, only he could communicate that in a way that no one else could. You know, when Jesus says, this is the way it is, he knows because he's there. And he communicates, tells us who the Father is, gives us a picture as he's walking. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. These are the Father's words. And we see this picture of this great and glorious King humbling himself, coming to serve us because we were in such desperate need. He reveals the truth of God, and he came to serve us by saving us from eternal destruction. That was our destiny. That was our destiny prior to this. That's why that first Christmas was so personal for you and I. He came to die. Because we needed him too. And so this great Creator, this infinite God in all his majesty, somehow is contained in a single little virgin woman. And he comes for the sole purpose of serving us. for the glory of God. Because we are in so desperate of a need. And so He is, this Jesus, the angels proclaim, is God. He is the Creator. He is the eternal King forever and ever at the end of every human's life. He is both fully God and fully man, so He could speak in a way that we could never understand, never grasp on our own about eternal things, yet be so intimate with us that He would understand all that we would go through because He went through it. And He is humble because He came to serve. One of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen, and I can never find it. It was at a church I attended one time. I wish I could find it. I looked yesterday or the day before for about a half hour and I couldn't find it. It was a picture of Jesus in a manger, probably this far up, and you could see the hay. And it was the child reaching up, and very lightly, if you looked close, you could see the scars in the hands. And I thought, that's what Christmas was about. Very lightly, He came to die. This King of glory came to serve us. To serve us. That He would come to die so that we would be reconciled to God. That is what happened at first Christmas. You see, Jesus is all those things, and the angels proclaimed it. And they bring they glorify God in the greatness of it. He is the Son of the Almighty. He is eternal King, and you can just see Him praising them. And then all of a sudden, He says, and He's not only all that, but He's something desperate that all mankind needs. He is Savior. And only because He is God, eternal King, fully God, fully man, can He save us. And that's the beauty of the first Christmas. That unto you a Savior is born. This day in the city of Bethlehem. Wow! This King of glory has come. The eternal King, the Creator. You could just imagine what was coming forth out of the angels. This King, we know Him, we've seen Him. He's here for you. All of mankind, the Savior has come. Your Savior, you're in this place where you're desperate and you need someone. And He's here. He's here. He's here. And that's the King. A Savior today is born for you. The gospel right there. Luke. For unto you is born this day, this city of David, a Savior. A Savior. And Matthew. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. Oh, Jesus. For He will save His people from their sins. And Luke chapter 19. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Wow. Acts. There's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Wow. Wow. He came not to make our lives more comfortable. It's not why He came. But to glorify the Father. To glorify the Father by offering Himself as a sacrificial substitute for all who would believe. That's why He came. And that's why the first Christmas is so personal to you and I. That's why it's so personal. Because He had your name written in the book of life. And somehow, some way, that first Christmas, we were on His mind. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that special? that this incredible God somehow could have us on His mind. He came to serve you and I. We were not distant from Him. Somehow this great God came, and that first Christmas, He knew all He was going to elect, draw into the kingdom. And we were on His heart as He began. As He began, for you and I, that day, as He began the earthly phase of our redemption. Isn't that incredible? That is so sweet. Don't you want to worship Him? That day He began it, the earthly phase. We knew from the foundations of the world and all that God had His plan. But that was the earthly initiative of that part of that plan. And He had us on His heart. That first Christmas, now I'm going to do, it's going to be done. It's going to be finished in a few years. But it's starting this earthly phase right now. That first Christmas. Praise God. Praise God for that first Christmas. And Jesus today is moving toward you just as He did 2,000 years ago. He came and He started that phase of our redemption on the day that Mary was somehow impregnated miraculously by the Spirit of God. And the earthly phase began, and it was culminated when Christ died on the cross. And He didn't just leave and abandon us, but 2,000 years later, He's still approaching us. He's still calling us. He's still coming to us and pursuing us in His great love for us. What a Savior. He still comes to us in our messes. Isn't that sweet? He's not afraid of dirty barns. I'm glad. Not afraid of dirty barns. He comes to serve even this day with great blessing and humility because He knows we're desperate for Him today. Just as we are every day. This King of glory, this eternal King, Creator of all, steps into humanity. Because what was the truth? We needed Him. We had sinned against the Holy God. Then we were going to be eternally separated from this God. Because of our sin. And Jesus came to serve. He lived that life we could not live. The perfect life, the sinless life. Only He had to do that. It was part of the cost. So He lives the perfect life without sin. Ever. Wow. Another meditation for us this year. And then He would go to the cross and be punished for our sin. The wrath of God poured out upon our sin, the penalty for it, so that God could find us through Christ acceptable and draw us into the kingdom of God. And if you're sitting here today and you're saved by God's grace and God's mercy, by faith alone, in Christ alone, then it is because of God's greatness and goodness to us. Displayed that very first Christmas when the angel revealed who this God, who this little child really was. Surprise, surprise. He's the King of glory, the Creator. He's come. He's come. And He's your Savior, which you desperately need. And that's the picture, that's what was revealed that by these angels that very first Christmas, the proclamation of the greatness of our God. That first Christmas, the angels revealed, surprisingly, that this was no ordinary child. This was no ordinary child. He was eternal. He was holy, He was humble, King, He was Savior. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Not some distant, faraway God. And He enters our world. He has not abandoned you. He is not running away from your messes. He's running to you with blessings, with answers, with strength, with hope. That's who our God is. That's who came this very first Christmas. That's who came to meditate upon that. To think about that. Oh God. To slow down our lives today. You know, I got so busy this week. You know, you got to get everything laid out, don't you? Oh, we're going here on this day, and we're going there, blah, blah, blah. And you get so caught up that you don't shut down. And you don't think about it. Really, really think about it. To sneak away and spend half hour meditating on what happened that first Christmas. And we get so caught up in all this stuff. And I'm going to ask you somehow, some way today, ask God for a half hour of time. And sneak away. Do whatever it takes. Walk outside. Sneak away. Get alone. Just meditate on the greatness of our God. And what happened that very first Christmas. And be overwhelmed. Be overwhelmed by what happened. Be overwhelmed for the truth that God used these angels to proclaim about Jesus' greatness. Just stop and slow down and worship. Worship our King. Think of the majesty. Think of the miracle. Think of the power. All these things. Think of the mercy and the goodness of God as we think about this very first Christmas. Think about His infinite love for you. Meditate on that. That first Christmas, you were on the heart of the Savior. He knew all that were going to be called to Him. And He knew He was starting that your redemption at that moment. Wow. And I would ask this. That as we meditate, that God would do a work. Now, I'm up here weeping because I'm overwhelmed. But as we think about this, my prayer would be that our response would be the same as it was with the angels and with the shepherds. That as we meditate on the greatness of our God, the eternal King, fully God, fully man, this humble Savior who came. We could not contain the worship. We could not contain not only worship and praise, but proclamation. That as we go this season, this Christmas season, as we spend that time with the Lord, just worshiping and meditating upon Him and praying and just loving Jesus and having Him pour out Himself upon us in this time that we sneak away, that out of that would come the same thing, that we would proclaim this greatness, because we're going to have opportunity this Christmas season. I pray God give everyone in this church an opportunity to share the gospel. But I'm asking that they would do it out of the abundance of their heart. In other words, we would stand in awe of Jesus. We would just be in worship of who He is. And how can we not? How can we not talk about Him and share this gospel? Take a look at what happened with the angels. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. I cannot imagine what that must have been like. The curtain is just pulled apart and there are a multitude of angels. They got it. They really got what was happening. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. The worship, the expression of praise going forth from these created beings. And they can't get it like we can, because Jesus didn't die to save them. And then we see these little shepherds coming apart. The angel says, hey, there's something that happened over here. You need to go. And they go and they see it. And they're amazed. They share it with Mary. And Mary says, I'm going to hold this thing deep in my heart. And here, look at the shepherds. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. You ever think about that? What did they see? They saw a baby in a manger. They're not on this side of salvation. Yet look at what it brought forth in them. God had granted them faith. And so these shepherds who walk into this mangy little stable and see a child in a manger, that's all they saw. Jesus didn't do any miracles. He was a child. And yet they believed. They believed. By God's grace and mercy, they believed. And so they went forth knowing that the Savior had come. Brothers and sisters, let's ask God to work that in our hearts. That we would continue to walk in a faith of His greatness and His goodness and believe all that is said to us in His Word. Because it will surely come to pass because of who He is. Let's walk in that faith by God's grace and God's mercy. Let's dwell on the greatness of our God and His incredible compassion and love for us. Let us do that by God's grace and mercy this season. The angels proclaimed who He was. Let's do the same by God's grace and mercy. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of You. We stand in awe of Your beauty. You are the great Creator. You spoke this all from nothing. And You are eternal King, seated in the highest place. You will be at the end of every man's life. You are fully our King and Savior and God. You are a humble King, and You are our Savior. And we ask today, Lord, that You would work these truths deep in our heart and You would break forth a worship that is like a tsunami coming forth in us, God, as we grasp the depth of what happened for us that very first Christmas. Thank You, God, for Your incredible love and Your grace and Your mercy. Oh, we worship You today. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And all God's people say, let's stand and continue to worship.